The reason I need the music stand is because I've just come back from Spiritual Renewal Week yesterday, as many of us did, or many of us at least were there for some part of the week. Spiritual Renewal Week, for those of you who might not know, is a now 40-some, maybe 45-year-long tradition started by Swami Kriyananda to be literally what it says, a week where people put down everything else that's going on in their lives. They come together with other soul-seeking, uplifted beings, and they spend a week just saturated with that energy. It's extraordinary beyond imagination of expectancy, and I'm going to talk a little bit about it today. It's certainly extraordinary beyond words, because what happens when you're there is exactly what Swamiji was talking about in the reading. Thoughts are universally, not individually, rooted. And you get there with everybody coming to be their very best, thinking good thoughts, wanting the speakers to do well, meeting friends that they haven't seen, because people come from all over the world. A lot of Ananda people, but it was amazing how many new people. Everybody coming to be spiritually renewed. I gave a very... I gave a talk up there this year, and it was really impassioned. When I was done, I thought to myself, whoa, where did that come from? And I was immediately thinking of that phrase in Autobiography of a Yogi, where Babaji sort of very sweetly to Sri Yukteswar, who's mad at him because he met him in the woods, and when he came back, he went home to get him a gift. When he came back, Babaji had disappeared. When he sees him later, he's angry. And he says, very sweetly, like to a little child, but I was nearly extinguished from the ether by your nervousness. And I thought, good Lord, I hope I didn't extinguish everybody here. It was a lot of energy. And a friend of mine said to me this morning, I really hope you can bring some of that here. And I thought, me too, but you know, it's not exactly there here. The energy's different, so different things come out. But I was there. It was extraordinary. Very uplifting. And when I read just a couple days ago, I picked up Ray's and I thought, does Satan exist? This is what I'm going to have to go from Spiritual Renewal Week. I don't want to talk about Satan. I didn't want him anywhere in this room. In fact, I actually had the thought, now by this time, I think it was Friday or Thursday night, I was going to call Karen, I was going to call the readers, I was going to call everybody and say, no, let's talk about creating devotion in your heart, something, not Satan. And then a friend of mine up at the village, I mentioned it to her, and she said, oh, she's one of the singers. She said, that must be why we're singing Temptation. And I said, whoa, I really do not feel great for Jyotish and Devi, who have to give service if you're going to sing Temptation. And then yesterday, Karen's email, I got home yesterday, I get Karen's email. Of course, they're singing Temptation. But fortunately, after me, actually, it's a very uplifting and positive song. Satan tries to get in there, you'll see. But Christ himself just moves him aside. So it's not what it felt like up there, but up there it felt like, who dreamed of the tragedy? I can do tragedy, but anyway, it ends better than that. So, all by way of saying to you, that was a long intro, that I decided that what I would do is I would read you a few jokes. A friend of mine, that's not even funny yet, but I needed to bring some of that energy back. And Marcel Hernandez, he sends me, every once in a while he sends me jokes, and he sent me a bunch of jokes, I think I got them on Friday or yesterday. So I thought I would read a couple of them, and then we are going to need to talk about Satan a little bit, but I'm just going to give him a nod this morning. So this says, they're back, those wonderful church bulletins, and it says, thank God for church ladies with typewriters. It shows you how old these are. These sentences actually appeared in church bulletins or were announced at church. Okay. Irving Benson and Jesse Carter were married on October 24th in the church. So ends a friendship that began in their school days. For those of you who have children and don't know it, we have a nursery downstairs. The comma was after the don't know it, so it's perfect. These typos. I'll just read you one more, then I better talk about something serious. Ladies, don't forget the rummage sale. It's a chance to get rid of those things not worth keeping around the house. Bring your husbands. I hate to get serious now. We have to keep the energy up here. The focus of Spiritual Renewal Week, which I'm sure some of you know, I imagine many of you have been watching the talks. And so for those of you who haven't, I'm going to allude to certain things that were set up there, but definitely watch these talks when you can. What I realized, and this is very much a part of this talk, it's interesting to me that, I can very often get nervous before a talk. Honestly, particularly before Sunday service at times. I don't know why, and it's getting less and less as the years go by, but it's been there for me. But when I have been asked to speak up at the Village, I've never been nervous. I mean, not even for a moment. People are like, okay, we'll leave you alone. We know you're talking at SRW. You don't have to come to this. And I'm saying, please don't leave me alone. And of course I'm coming. And it just, there's something about it. I've often thought, is it just the people who are there, the moment that they're in, they really want you to do your best. Nobody's critiquing anything. I've just never been able to figure it out. But actually, as I read the reading, it became very clear to me that what goes on at Spiritual Renewal Week is that everybody comes not just wanting me to stand up and do my best, but they come with a hope, desire, and will to be attuned to a higher level of consciousness. That's what they bring. Everybody, they're coming to be spiritually renewed. And when you put a couple of hundred people, I don't know how many people are there, but at least a couple of hundred, out in an audience, you know, Lotus Lake is there, the flowers are blooming, the breeze is blowing. Every single moment is devoted to talking about God with really some of the best speakers. You know, the people who've been at Ananda for a very long time, these people get up and give talks that just are so moving. Well, when you put yourself in the midst of that, then you yourself, even without trying, you don't have to think about it. You don't have to make any effort. You're being drawn to that very positive, uplifting, expansive energy, no matter where your inclinations are. Usually, as Swamiji said, and I'm going to give you this quote later, but I won't get it perfect right now, but in the reading, he says, thoughts are universally, not individually rooted. There's negative thoughts out there, there's dark thoughts, there's downward pulling thoughts, and then there's uplifting, expansive, upward, mobile thoughts and actions. And we are just drawn to these according to our own inclinations. We don't decide sometimes to have a negative thought or to bring something negative, or we're not always conscious about trying to be uplifted, not every moment, but we're drawn to what's out there according to our own inclinations. It's so profound, and it talks about the essence of the whole spiritual path. Why do we say that the free will that we have and what really matters is which direction we turn ourselves? Which way are we going to point? Not just moment by moment, but when there's a problem, when things aren't going the way we want them to. Do we have it in us to turn towards the light? Will we turn towards the light or not? And that's really what this saying says. The devil is real. Yogananda said, I add my own testimony to this. And not only that, and I can't remember if it says it in the reading, but Swamiji says, Satan is a conscious cosmic force. Because, of course, we know nothing can exist outside of the divine, and the divine is conscious. So there is a force out there that is really trying to fill us with the delusion that God doesn't exist. And our job is to do everything we can do to liberate ourselves. Lahari gave such a beautiful prayer this morning during our purification that she probably knows I repeated it. I memorized it when she gave it. But one line in there was, liberate us from delusion. It's not easy, really. You know, delusion will hold on with all of its might. It will not let go of you easily. Because if it were so obvious to us, the ways that we're headed down a wrong track, or the ways that we're doing something that's taking us away from God, would we keep doing it? Of course not. It's the incredible subtlety of it all. When we get so sure that it's in our mind, it's our own thought, and it's where we want to be. I've said to you many times already, and I'll say it again, this spiritual renewal week was really a profound experience. And I had a lot of experiences that I won't share. Here's some of them. Were very personal, but I began to see only on my ride on the way home, it came to me that some of the ways that a subtle kind of negativity that I can carry has a lot to do with how things go that I wouldn't have recognized. And I want to give you an example, because this is how Satan gets in. About 2 years ago, Christy Norfleet came up. She's not here today, but I'm pointing to where she would be if she were here. And she came to a retreat that I was leading up at the meditation retreat. I don't remember what it was. It doesn't matter. And she came up to me and said to me, I want to talk to you about something. And she told me about this great play that she had been writing for years called Meet the Master, Meet the Masters. And she said, I think we could put it on in Palo Alto. I think it would be great. Well, I really wanted to support Christy. That's what came to me. It was that simple. I said to her, absolutely, let's get it on the schedule. So we did. Now, some of you may not know that I happen to be the manager of this church. That means making sure things go well, making sure all the different jobs get done, making sure there's enough money for everything and that it's going in the right places. So as the play started unfolding, guess what? It took a lot of time and energy. It took a lot of the staff's time and energy. It was costing a lot of money. And Marcel, who was helping her, who brilliant in his own right in this way, decided it was the first play we were putting on here, at least in a long time. He would cook dinner for everybody. So now we have this dinner for 70-some people that we're putting on before the play. So I started sort of saying, yeah, it's really great that we're putting on this play. Yeah, I'm totally behind it. But I was not totally behind it. I wanted to be totally behind it. But I wasn't. I was anxious about the money. I was anxious about the staff help. I'm saying it to you like it was obvious. It was not obvious. They put on this play up at Spiritual Renewal Week. It was extraordinary. It was as touching as anything I've ever seen. It too will be posted. Watch it. First I was saying, wow, they've done it a few times. They're better. No, it's not just that they've done it a few times. It's that everything in that environment was saying, yes, do it. We want this play. Nobody was sitting there, even me. I didn't have to worry about the money, the time, the energy. And on the way home, that and many things came to me. Just like Swamiji says, if you're not moving forward on your spiritual path, you're headed backwards. There's no neutral. There's no hanging out on the path. We need to be bringing everything we have to moving ahead, to being bringing joy in as part of the solution, not waiting for it at the end, not to wait and see if everything goes well and then say, gee, that was great. People loved it. No. How can I help it be great? So many more examples of that came to my mind. I wouldn't typically think of myself as a negative person. I wouldn't think of myself as somebody who limits everybody's energy. But I just saw it with such utter clarity. Honestly, it was a gift because it's going to allow me to shift that veil of delusion in what any way I'm capable of doing. It is subtle, but it wants to get us, and it will take us. Swamiji said, any step that we take toward God or away from him, I wanted to quote him exactly, is an invitation to powers infinitely greater than our own. It's so important to hear this. An invitation to powers infinitely greater than our own, which influence us to continue moving in the same direction. You start out with a yes, of course, absolutely. It doesn't take much. I'm not going to repeat the story, but I told this story in my talk up there of a woman who had come to me who was negative, filled with negativity. I think I've told it here before. Had a cancer. I asked her to go home and say 3 nice things a day to people she was angry with. And that's all you really know. She went home and she did that. What happened to that woman? When she came back and saw me 3 weeks later, she said, everything in our life changed in 3 days. She was so resistant to saying those 3 nice things a day to her son and her husband. But 3 weeks later, she was just filled with joy. I said to her, hey, how are things at home? Great, she says. Why are you even asking? She had been so negative 3 weeks earlier. Oh, Shanti, you won't believe it. Everything changed. What happened to her? She went from being stuck in those lower chakras just by saying 3 nice things a day. She wasn't practicing our techniques. That's not what was happening. I'm going to talk about those techniques in a minute, but it's not what she was doing. She just started saying, I'm so glad you're here. Thank you for helping. Whatever she said, I don't even know what the 3 nice things were. Everything that we put out is an invitation to powers infinitely greater than our own to keep moving us in that same direction. You want to see what's wrong in the world? You get sucked down further than you can imagine. Stop yourself. We cannot let ourselves go there. I came back saying, how can I get up there? Not wanting anybody to feel guilty, badly, life happens, I know it. But I want to say to everybody, put it on your calendar right now, every August, 1 week, go and be spiritually renewed. Why would we not? What else are we doing here? We're the people who know we want to do that. Other than something grand that gets in your way, and of course that happens. It is not the same staying home and watching those talks on the computer, because why those talks are as good as they are is because everybody's feeding you this energy and all you need to be doing is sitting there. It's true of every spiritual thing that we do. I want to talk a little bit about our techniques, but I just want to quote a couple of quotes from this reading. I think more than, I was so resistant to this reading, but more than most weeks, Swami put the answers right in there. He said, take pain then. We have to hear this. Take pain then to attract uplifting currents of universal consciousness. It doesn't just come. We can't just be lazy about it. Take pain to attract them. Put out energy where people are going to be drawn to you to say, wow, yes, of course, let me help, let me be with you. Because it serves everybody. You have to think about, you have to be conscious about attracting universal, the currents of positive energy. Yogananda said, and I discovered this when I was thinking about that talk, which was on healing. It's very tricky what they do up at the village. They always put me, I'm a doctor, and Peter, on talks about healing. And really, most of the time we go on, we don't talk about medical issues or healing at the physical level. That's what they think we're going to do. We talk about healing. We're devotees. We're yogis. Yogananda said, it is only in the unlimited power of spiritual methods that man will be made to heal the diseases of body, mind, and soul. Only in the unlimited power of spiritual methods. That means there is no way to heal other than moving forward spiritually. The illusion that I've, or the image, sorry, that I've had for years is of a children's jack-in-the-box. You push it down here, you think you're well, it pops up here. You push it down there, it pops up over here. It might present in different forms. You may not realize it's the same bit of negative energy that you've been carrying around that's limiting, that's pulling you down. Might give you a stomach ache one day, a headache the next, trouble with your boss the next, little bit of depression or anxiety. You have to go to the unlimited power of spiritual methods. Now, I know how many times I have ended talks here talking about our techniques, but this is what Master came to give us. He came in the age of energy in Dwapara, and he said to us, look at this. You can actually know God. Not that you can get in good stead with him. Not that you do certain things. You might just avoid going to hell. You can know God. You can experience all the love, the joy, the peace, the creativity that is the divine. And he gave us techniques. And it looks so simple that it can just go like this. I thought to myself this morning, what am I going to do? I'm going to get up there and I'm going to say to these people, you won't believe this. If you practice the energization exercises with this thought in mind, the greater the will, the greater the flow of energy. They're going to look at me like, you think we don't know that, Shanti? And I'm thinking, I want to say, no, I feel like I heard it for the first time. Listen to this. The greater the will, the greater the flow of energy. What an extraordinary thing to know. But guess what? You have to bring your will, your willpower, your willingness, your power. You have to bring it all to get the energy flowing. Hear it like you're hearing it for the very first time. When I read about Hung Sa before that talk, I just read about Hung Sa. I've been practicing Hung Sa since I'm 32 years old. But I read about it. And I read where Master said, this is the deliberate experience of concentrating and strengthening energy in our spine. The deliberate. That word came out to me like I had never heard it before. Now, since I read that last week, I've practiced quite a few rounds of Hung Sa. Different than it ever was. For those of you that don't know, Hung Sa is a breathing technique where, because breath is energy, it's the deliberate drawing of energy into the spine, concentrating it, focusing it. Why? So that we can take that energy and that focus and concentration and bring it to anything in our lives, any place that we want. I heard this for the first time. Obviously not for the first time. But you know, anybody who's read the autobiography more than once has had that amazing experience where you read a line and you think to yourself, is this a new edition? Was it here before? Because as we open day by day by day, we can take in things that we could never have taken in before. I learned so much at Spiritual Renewal Week. Not just like there was a talk that Puru gave. You'll listen to it. He's a brilliant scientist, and he's about to write a book. He's writing a book, soon to be published, I think, called The Physics of God. But here's what I realized, and I said this up there, but I want to say it again. It was brilliant. I didn't understand a word he said, but I got the gist of it, you know. But it's all about physics. And he was talking about all of these things, quarks and leptons and neutrinos, and he had this great phrase that I have to repeat here called quantum entanglements. Oh my Lord, you just feel like you'll be entangled for the whole rest of your life in something. I didn't know what it was supposed to be. But when he was all done, and he what he did was brilliant. He said, I want you to know what the physicists are learning. They're learning that we're made and remade every instant of our life. Every instant. And he proved that. I thought, well, I'm about to get up and give a talk on transformational medicine. That's transforming. We're made and remade. We don't have to be in an instant anything that we are now. We know this as yogis, but it was phenomenal hearing it. He told us there's quadrillion biochemical interactions going on every second in our body. Now, to say that's mind-blowing is an understatement. Whose mind can get around that? I've no idea what that means, quadrillion. But here's what I know. As brilliant as that talk was, and as brilliant as Dr. Peter's talk, and I started my talk by saying how brilliant Peter's talk was, having sat through a lot of medical lectures. Brilliant. It's all of the mind. And when, not everything Peter said or Puru, but all the science of it. And you can get closer and closer and closer, as the physicists do, to beginning to think, wow, there might actually be, this might all add up to what all of these yogis have been telling us for thousands of years, is God. But as long as there's even a lepton or quark's worth of separation there, you're in your mind. And as long as you're in your mind, delusion will get you. And there is no way to get out of your mind, none, other than all of these techniques that this great avatar brought to us. It is not simple. You should never tire of hearing about energization, hung sa, prayer, affirmation. That is the only way to get where we think we want to go. There is no other way. No matter how many books are written, we all love the quantum physicists these days because they're affirming what we know to be true. But they will not help people avoid the satanic call or draw into the darkness. They won't. And let me just end by saying one very important thing, because we're all sitting here, we're all together. Paramahansa Yogananda said, no one has crossed my path without reason. No one has crossed my path without reason. We are all here because of Yogananda and then that great disciple of his, Swami Kriyananda, who made everything he said, everything he came to teach, understandable for us. He gave it to us in pieces that we could grasp. But we are, in essence, crossing the path of Yogananda. We're here to turn our backs on Satan, as you're about to hear in a minute, and to follow in the way of these great teachings over and over and over, saying no to delusion, no to Satan, which is that pool that tries to make us think God doesn't exist, we can do it on our own, we already have the answers, we don't. We need God's help, and as I said earlier, we turn our direction, an infinite amount of energy pulling us ever and again in that direction, always holding our hands here, focusing our energy at the point between the eyebrows, as many milliseconds of a day as we can remember, so that God himself can reach down and say, okay, now I can bless your life.